Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
Come on!
Welcome to Money Savage, a savage approach to personal finance. This is George Grumbacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, a strong and powerful Wayne Titus. Wayne, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready. Let's go.
Excellent. Let's do this. Wayne is a CPA, a PFS, an IFA. He's the principal and founder at AMDG Financial. He is the author of The Entrepreneur's Guide to Financial Well-Being. I'm excited to have you on. Wayne, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Well, I started in sales and sales management a number of years ago when I first got out of college. I went back, picked up an accounting degree, started working for one of the big six firms at the time, switched firms, was on the partner admission process, decided I wasn't going to be happy being partners with 12,000 other partners around the globe, and started my own business. So went from kind of a very significant salary to zero when I started my business, and been very happy with that over the years. It's not zero now, but you know, restarting my life two or three times over the years has been a good thing. And serving families and entrepreneurs has been probably the highlight of that. So when I started my business, that was kind of my focus. What was I going to do, and how is I going to be impactful? Took me about 2 years to figure that out. When I figured it out, I went to my managing partner and said I was going to lead the firm. It was a matter of time. And they asked me to transition my projects and supported my move to my, kind of starting out my business. So from the very beginning, we've been the only fiduciary advisors for entrepreneurs and families. Started that in January of 2002. So that's been my journey for the last 17 years now.
Nice. Well, I appreciate that. And for those who are listening, certainly over the last couple of years, we've talked about fiduciary and what that means, but it doesn't seem like it sounds like you were probably on the front end of that.
Yeah, there wasn't too many firms when I started doing my research. You know, there was some literature out there on fiduciary processes. I learned about a guy named Don Trone, who's still around. I call him the father of fiduciary. He does a lot in the area of leadership. He's a good, kind of a good mentor of mine. But he'd written a book called Procedural Prudence for Fiduciaries. And I started my firm based on that book and the business processes that need to be in place. And our firm, AMDG Financial, has been audited by the Center for Fiduciary Excellence. Since 2007, we were one of the first 10 firms in the world and one of the first 8 in the United States to achieve this accreditation. And we've achieved it every single year since 2007. It's an important thing for us, and it demonstrates to our clients that are interested that, you know, we conform to global best practices for fiduciaries. So not too many firms do it. I think there's maybe 150 firms now accredited like that. But we were some of the first.
Nice. Outstanding. So talk to us a little bit about some of the planning considerations that entrepreneurs have that maybe I don't want to call them regular. How about that non-entrepreneurs have?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, the big thing with entrepreneurs is they can get some advice from accountants, from financial advisors. But the thing that I find that's a little bit in conflict is, you know, the financial advisor saying you have to talk to your accountant. The accountant saying, hey, I need to, you need to change the way your investment advisor is doing things, or your financial advisor is doing things. And those advisors typically aren't talking to each other. And it becomes a problem, because it becomes inefficient, right? So there's an inefficiency that is created, because those advisors aren't talking or integrating the approach. And so I think that's actually one of the biggest challenges that a fiduciary advisor has, is making sure that they've got the right advisors, and that those advisors are either working together, or that they've got one advisor that's doing it all, helping to integrate. And that's where our focus is that integration of tax, financial, and investment strategy. You know, which is what's very important from that perspective.
Oh, I appreciate that, and I think that when you were describing that challenge, it made me think about echo chambers that seem to have popped up quite a bit with social media, and we do find ourselves in echo chambers, just talking to people who have drank the same Kool-Aid we have, and so there's not a lot of other opinions coming in. And so, from a planning perspective, if you have all these different advisors and they're not talking to the other ones and they're just living in their world, it probably would create some inefficiencies.
Yeah, that's actually one of the things that I write on in my book. And I don't talk about it in the context of echo chambers, but I think that's a good way to kind of describe it. There's three kinds of advisors. I got this from Atul Gawande. He wrote a book on being mortal. It's a great read. But he talked about the three kinds of physicians, and I said, you know, there really is the same kind of financial and tax advisors. There's the paternalistic, the one that basically tells you what to do, do as I say, not as I do. There is the informative, the one that says, that it does the research and says, here are all your different options, you choose what's best for you. And then there's the interpretive advisor, the one that tries to understand what the facts and circumstances are, what your goals and objectives are, helps filter through or filter out some of the noise, and puts the pros and cons in a simple analysis, because that's really what it gets down to. It ends up being a fairly simple analysis when you do the research and you have that integrated knowledge. And then the client is able to make a decision on which way to move forward, or what's best for them and their families, or them and their businesses. And so I think that's important to find that advisor that works as an integrated advisor, somebody that's going to truly understand your situation and help you focus on what's important, not just what they think is important, but truly base it on broader facts and circumstances.
Yeah, I think that's a great and interesting way to break that down, in terms of thinking about it in terms of three kinds of physicians. But it does sound to me like there's an immense crossover, if not identical, to working with a professional advisor. So I appreciate that. Especially today when there's so much noise out there, it's important to have somebody that can have an understanding of those three different worlds you talked about: tax, financial, and investment. And I don't think it's totally clear necessarily to me the difference between financial and investment.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. When you look at tax, financial, and investment strategy, those three things play off of each other. People understand the impact of taxes and how that dilutes how much wealth they can retain. So obviously the goal is to minimize the impact of tax over not just this year, but over long periods of time. And so strategically planning 20 to 40 years is what we look at when we actually put a strategic tax cash flow plan together. that strategic tax and cash flow plan is impacted by someone's financial plan. The financial plan is how much money do you have coming in? How much money do you need to spend or want to spend? How much should go to savings? How do you, you know, and then how can you manipulate that to, again, minimize that or impact that tax strategy? The investment strategy underpins the financial plan. People do think about financial and investment advisors as the same. They're not the same. And as it relates to taxes, they don't, many times, as I said at the very beginning, they don't even talk with each other. And so if you don't have those three legs of the stool highly integrated, you're going to fall over. There's going to be some inefficiency, some ineffectiveness on a two-legged stool. You need to have all three of those things integrated. So let me talk about how financial strategy and investment strategy differ. Your financial objectives, you know, what you want to accomplish in life, as I said, like your lifestyle, that's a financial objective. How you achieve that might be impacted more by investment strategy. So what are the types of investments that you pick and underpin that financial strategy or those financial objectives with? So the investment strategy supports the financial plan, which impacts the tax plan. All those three things should be highly integrated.
That makes sense. And for an entrepreneur, you mentioned your entrepreneurial story, how you walked away from a really, really solid income down to zero. And over the course of your career, you've made different changes and tweaks. And I think that's probably a common entrepreneurial story for a lot of people. Do they have a hard time doing that financial planning, really looking ahead?
Yeah, it's an interesting thing. You know, people are so focused, entrepreneurs are so focused on their business. There was a study that was done by some folks in Europe, and they looked at how an entrepreneur looks at their business and how they look at their child. And the testing that they did actually shows that the brain lights up in a very similar way between when they looked at a picture of their child or a picture of their business, right? So as entrepreneurs, we're highly engaged and highly emotional as it relates to our businesses as well as our families. Very similar experience. But an entrepreneur's focus isn't on tax, financial, and investment strategy. It's on their business, right? Or it's on their family. There's a lot of time that it takes to do this. And if, you know, if they had that time, they would probably choose to spend it with their family or spend it on their business, not necessarily looking after and trying to figure these other things out. They're experts, you know, in their business. And they that's why they got into the business, because they love or they have a passion for that. They don't typically have a passion to mitigate tax, you know, mitigate the impact of taxes, although they'd like to accomplish that. That's what they rely on their professional advisor to help them with. But again, when they don't know about what kind of advisor should I be using when we, you know, when we're trying to integrate these things, they, you know, they're unduly relying on their professional to provide them the advice that they need because they don't know what questions to ask. And so I think that's, you know, that's the other thing, is they rely on those advisors to help them, but if those advisors are only focused in that one particular area of tax or one particular investment strategy, they're not typically involved in a holistic approach. And so they're not guiding that entrepreneur in a way that's helpful for them to retain as much wealth, you know, out of their business as they might otherwise be able to do.
Yeah, I appreciate that. And what are some of those questions?
Well, you know, maybe it's not the question so much as, well, some of the questions, how do I mitigate the impact of taxes? You know, I'm a CPA, but I find that a lot of CPAs are really focused on compliance, like just preparing the actual tax return or doing the bookkeeping. But they're not focused on how do you mitigate the impact of taxes. They're not consultative or integrative in nature. And so when you ask a CPA, how do I mitigate tax? they may not be providing the response of, well, you know, consider putting in a 401k plan or a cash balance plan that's integrated with a 401k plan. Or longer term, maybe, you know, maybe what you can do is you can level out your income by putting more into a cash balance plan this year, maybe less into a cash balance plan next year, depending upon what your profits are. So if you have a fluctuation in hours, you can fluctuate the amount that's required to be contributed into a cash balance plan, or that's, you know, basically a pension type plan. And many entrepreneurs or CPAs shy away from those kinds of plans because the commitment, the financial commitment that needs to be made to keep them in place. But there's effective ways to manage that risk and to mitigate that, like an hours-based plan versus a plan that's not hours-based that might require an ongoing contribution instead of a contribution that could be turned off or turned back on. So there's ways to mitigate these impacts, but you have to have the right advisor to help you do that. So if your advisor is saying, we'll talk to your investment guy, or if your investment guy is saying, if you talk to your tax person, that's probably an indication that you're not working with an integrative advisor. They're not coming up with integrated solutions that integrate tax, financial, investment strategy. That should be a clue that maybe you should be looking for an additional relationship.
So that's one of the tells right there. Like, oh, I'm going to stay on my lane.
Yeah, I think that's an easy one.
Yeah. Okay. And is it necessarily a bad thing that they don't necessarily do it, but if they say, but I have somebody that I work closely with, that's a better sign?
Yeah, we don't, like for our entrepreneurial clients, we don't necessarily prepare their tax returns or do their bookkeeping. We work with other CPAs and investment professionals to integrate these things, but you should have somebody that's taking the lead and making sure that that's getting done for you as an entrepreneur. I think that's probably the most important thing as an entrepreneur, that you can make sure that you've got that lead in place and that they are actively helping you manage those other professionals. I always tell our entrepreneurial prospects, you know, my goal isn't necessarily to replace your advisors. If you have a trusted advisory relationship, I think that's really important. And you don't just throw that to the curb. But what you want to try to do is figure out how do you integrate that so that you're getting the most efficient and impactful plan pulled together so that your family benefits over a long period of time.
Got it. I appreciate
having that long period of time ahead of you is what is really, you know, the best resource. To have that compounding of growth, you know, all of that, the minimization of tax, all of that happens over long periods of time.
Well, Wayne, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I think the difference-making tip is to, you know, focus on your relationship and make sure that you've got the right professional relationship with your advisor, that they're an integrative advisor, that they're interpreting and helping you implement integrated plans for tax, financial, investment strategy, not one-offs.
Well, I think that is great stuff. Definitely gets come on.
Come on!
Wayne, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
They can learn more about me at my website at waynebtitus3.com. And our business is amdgservices.com.
Excellent. Give me the website again.
amdgservices.com.
amdgservices.com. Perfect. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Wayne your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to amdgservices.com. Check out all the things that we've been talking about today. Thank you again, Wayne.
It's my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight because we are all in this together. Before I go, quick announcement. I've been asked by so many people over the past couple of years about how do I start a podcast, that I've developed and released a course that will teach you exactly how to do that step by step, from figuring out the kind of show that you want to have to understanding how all the technology works behind it, and then how to get great guests and keep the thing moving and how to grow it. So if you're interested in that, check it out. You can go to georgegrumbacher.com/podcast course and you'll find it there. You can just go to the website. I'll also list that in the notes of the show.
What's up, Savage Nation? Please support the show by subscribing, leave us a review, and definitely feel free to share us with somebody you think would like it.
Come on!
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
With the state of today's economy, it is more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made of the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back into your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality made to last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.